There's something that's both exciting and extremely daunting about setting out to travel on your own. The world is your oyster. The possibilities are endless. And yet, you're doing all this by yourself. You're haggling for rickshaws by yourself. You're finding your hostel by yourself. You're catching trains by yourself. You're eating by yourself. You're hanging out in bars by yourself. Solo travel is the ultimate in independence. And yet, it can also be the recipe for some pretty lonely and sometimes even scary times. Is it all worth it? Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveller.com.au podcast. Today we're talking about travelling solo, the art of setting out to see the world on your own, making your own decisions, going your own way, the good, the bad, and the scary. In the first half of this episode, we're going to break down the best and worst parts about travelling by yourself, the highlights and the horror stories, before later on we go on to look at some of the ideal destinations to hit as a solo traveller, and explain how to stay safe when you're there. Joining me in this endeavour, I have two passionate solo travellers who've seen the world many times in their own company. First, she's a traveller.com.au writer who's travelled solo in Peru, Chile, Morocco and India, just to name a few, Nina Karnikovsky.
Hi.
Hey Nina, great to have you on board. Also joining us today, he's a travel filmmaker and producer and becoming something of a regular on Flight of Fancy, Tim Shirodi.
How are you going, Ben?
Thanks for coming along, guys. Can you guys remember the first time you set off on your own? How old were you, Nina?
Yeah, so I was 21 and I went to go and live in France for university for a year, and there was a bit of a mix-up. I was meant to go with a couple of other Australian students, but they made a mix-up, and for some reason I was the only one going on their own. Right. So I arrived in this weird little French town in the south of France, and I went from deep sort of depression for the first couple of weeks and, you know, getting lost and just in tears every night and deciding that I was just going to throw it all in and go back home.
French arty depression though, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. A few cigarettes involved, yeah. For sure. And then it very quickly turned around and I started making friends.
What was the turning point? Just getting used to the year of experience? Or?
I just think meeting a friend, you know, there's nothing like that when you first kind of realize like, oh, wow, I can be friends with someone that I don't know and that's not involved in my kind of social scene and that is not involved in, I don't know, my school, all of that sort of thing. That knowledge that I could kind of cross those boundaries of culture and those sorts of things, that was really exciting for me. And then from there, I mean, I never looked back.
Yeah, right. How about you, Tim?
I suppose I'm a bit of a late bloomer when it comes to solo travel. Mm-hmm. I spent close to 6 years, probably even longer, traveling on and off with my best mate. We had a travel show together, so we were always traveling together. And then he hung up the traveling boots and I kept trying to keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
So I've been traveling the last few years on my own, mostly because of work. So, you know, I can't really convince a client to pay for me to bring someone along just because I don't like to eat alone.
Right.
So I'm traveling alone a lot recently. So there's a few hurdles that I had to jump when I started traveling alone. I think my first big kind of solo adventure on my own was to South Africa and Mozambique a few years ago. And that was, I went through some pretty interesting times on that one.
Because I mean, think you mentioned on this show before in a previous episode.
I'll probably bring it up again.
You ended up being held up at gunpoint by
policemen.
Yeah,
Maputo.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Maputo. Oh.
Yeah. Not a great place for a solo traveler.
No.
Right.
It can be great, I think, if you're just not as dumb as me and you can.
is solo travel, I feel like it's something that people kind of get forced into the first time because, you know, you don't have any friends who want to go to the same places as you, or, you know, you don't have, your partner doesn't want to do the same things as you. So you do it because you have to rather than choosing. Or was that different to you guys? Did you guys choose to do it?
I was forced into it myself. I was always so used to traveling with my friend. The idea of traveling alone, I thought, who am I going to share my experiences with? That was my first impression of solo travel. Mm. But now I've done it a few times. I crave it. I really enjoy it. I think it's the ultimate way to travel. Personally, I think when you do travel solo, you're so much more immersed in your surroundings and your environment. You're not bouncing off the person next to you all the time and trying to make jokes about something. And you're not always looking for someone to interact with. You're interacting with yourself and your surroundings. And you're completely physically, mentally immersed in your surroundings. So now I love it, personally. But I was forced into it at first. But now I'd go out of choice on my own.
Right.
Totally. And I do. I often kind of choose to do it on my own. because I think, like you were saying, you know, I think you really have your blinkers on when you're with someone else. You know, like say if you're on a in a car and you're journeying through the landscape and you're just talking and you're That's trying it. To kind of pass the time. But I had a road trip through Morocco recently and I was just, I had these beautiful moments of just kind of sitting there and watching the scenery go by and chatting to the Moroccan driver and, you know, really having that space to kind of take it all in. And I think in that same way, that's how you meet people, because when you're with somebody else, I mean, I know personally, I am much more likely to approach someone if they're on their own rather than in a couple 100%. or a gaggle of friends or whatever. And I know that that happens to me when I'm by myself. And I Absolutely. Think, yeah,
it's, I think you meet so many. Yeah, I think you meet so many more people when you travel solo. I mean, I met a huge amount of people when I travel with my friend, but we're almost identical people. So it's almost like traveling solo with a twin.
Well, but there's a flip side to that. Like I found, I traveled with a girlfriend once who would just sort of get drunk and talk to people. Yeah. And you know, sometimes that's annoying, but at other times we met so many more people than I would have met on my own because I'm sort of not that gregarious and I probably wouldn't have started talking to these people. And there was another time in traveling around Iran with a female friend of mine, and men would always come and talk to me. And so we would meet men, but women would always come and talk to her, and they would only talk to her. And then eventually I would be drawn into the conversation.
And you're thinking, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, that's just kind of the way it works there. And it just meant that both of us got to meet a lot more people than we would have had we been traveling by ourselves, because I only would have met men and she only would have met women.
That's interesting.
I love traveling by myself as well, but there's times when you just wish you had someone to kind of, not even just share the experience, but kind of acknowledge the experience that you've just been through with, to kind of look at them and say, did you just see that? Like, that's amazing,
isn't
it? Yeah,
but man, this is what social media is for. You're just like, oh my God, look what I'm doing. Come on, someone share it with me because I'm just by myself.
Well, Tim's advice on this is interesting because, Tim, you say ditch all social media.
Yeah, I think ditch social media. Get rid of Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever else, iPhones, iPads. Wow. Everything. I don't think get rid of it. That's extreme, but keep it to a bare minimum. Because I think when you immerse yourself in this online bubble, you basically shut yourself off from the outside world, and you're shutting other people out of your world as well. You know, it's not very easy to go up and speak to someone on the street or someone in the hostel if they're sitting there laughing their ass off at the latest fainting goats video on YouTube or speaking a million miles an hour in another language to someone that's 10,000 miles away or tapping furiously away on their computer. It really is a big social barrier, I think, and it kind of takes you outside of your current situation as well, and it stops you from being 100% present.
There is that disappointing thing where you walk into like a social room at a hostel
and everyone's
on their phone or on their iPad or connecting with people at home.
I think we're all of an age that we remember a time before all of this.
We do.
Are we going to show our age?
I don't want to be that old fogey who's like, oh, it's better back in my day before people had phones.
I'll be
But I do feel like you were forced to talk to the people around you a lot more often when you didn't have a phone in your hand.
100%.
Yeah. And I totally agree. Yeah, keep it to a minimum. But I just think, when there are those moments when you do feel a little lonely and you kind of think, oh, I wish there was someone I could share this with. I mean, I just think social media comes in handy then because you can put something up and then, you know, and other people are like, oh, it looks like having fun or whatever. And you,
I am having fun. You're right.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Damn right.
I'm validated.
So we come from different camps on that one, I think, me and you, Nina.
Yeah. So how do you guys meet people when you're traveling solo?
So many different ways. I think that, like we were saying before, you're more approachable when you're solo anyway. So sometimes people come and meet you. I mean, I think, you know, if you want to meet people, I think you don't see solo traveling as solo traveling. You see it as traveling with a whole multinational group of friends that you haven't met yet, basically. Yep. The traveling tribe is such an open-minded, friendly, out there kind of race of people, and you're going to go and meet so many people that are doing exactly what you're doing, traveling solo, the same mindset, like-minded people that want to meet other people as well. And if you want to meet people, if you're open and your attitude's right, you will meet people 100% in any situation you're in. That if you want to break it down, I think if you stay in social environments, youth hostels, if you're beyond youth hostels, find a hotel where it's got a nice social aspect about it, like a nice maybe a communal area down below or a
bar. I find even like if you think you're past hostels, you can stay in private rooms in hostels, and that still gives you access to the kitchen and the lounge room and places where you're going to be mixing with people who are up for meeting fellow travelers. But you know, you don't have to sleep with six drunk Americans in your or anything.
You can do that in your own
just
room.
One time.
Sounds like a story, mate.
What are the things that you guys have to get used to when you're traveling solo?
I think that eating alone is a big thing.
Yeah.
And that's something that, I mean, I don't really struggle with that much now, but I really did at the beginning.
Is it purely a mental thing, do you think?
I just think that we're brought up thinking that meal times are social times, and if you're by yourself, particularly if you're at a table on your own, which is why usually I sit at the counter, which is where other solo travelers will be. And that's where you can kind of, you're not embarrassed about striking up a conversation with the person next to you at the counter, whereas you would be leaning over to the next table.
Right.
Although I have done that before and that's worked out just fine.
Yeah.
So I think that helps. Or, you know, just taking a book and just having something to do, even if you don't end up reading that book, it's kind of a bit of a safety net to go like, okay, if it gets really bad and I'm really awkward, there's something to lean on there. But yeah, I mean, there is something really nice about it because it can put you right in the moment and you really enjoy your food because you're focused on it and you're not busy chatting to people and you can really take in what's going on around you. Once again, you know, you can see, okay, how does this culture enjoy their meals? How do they socialize during meals, that sort of thing.
I think also you can speak to the waiters and the waitresses. I had a pretty cool experience in Mexico City. I was staying in this hotel and throughout the week I was staying there, I became really good friends with the waiters in the hotel restaurant. Became such good friends with them on the last night, it was like a Friday night, they're like, let's show you our neighborhood. So they actually got in their cars and picked me up and drove me to this really poor barrio in Mexico City to eat some real Mexican street food.
Yeah.
Just such cool guys. And they were guys I met when I was dining, you know, solo in a restaurant, just decided to speak to them. I probably wouldn't have spoken to them if I had someone else to speak to.
Yeah. Yes.
Such nice guys. And we drove around places I wouldn't have seen otherwise, you know, without having these guys. I mean, even the cell they kept me in afterwards was...
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
They're such nice guys. I don't know. I think that all came from dining solo in Mexico City. I wouldn't have spoken to them if I had my mate with me, I don't think.
And what about drinking solo? Because that's something that people have more of a problem with, I think. Like going out to a bar on your own.
Yeah, my counsellor has a problem.
Yeah.
I think, that can feel a little kind of unsafe sometimes, depending on,
personally. Like if you go to some seedy pub where everyone's sort of in groups and getting hammered, then maybe it's going to feel a little bit awkward. But if you go into some sort of like a cocktail bar or something a little classier where you can just get a nice drink and sit on it for a while.
And knowing how you're going to get to the next place and like keeping an eye on how much you've had to drink. You know, like I was in Paris last week and I really wanted to go out and have some champagne. And, you know, so I went to one of the little street side bistros, but I was really, really tired. And after I'd had a couple, I was like, okay, I better go to the restaurant now because otherwise I don't know if I'll be able to like remember where I'm staying.
I actually got quite drunk on my own in Portugal very recently without really meaning to.
Yeah.
You just kind of get this cool vibe of fun.
Yes.
And I was like, I'll have another glass of wine. It costs like €2 a glass.
Treat yourself.
Like, give me another one.
Yes.
And I walked out of the restaurant. I was like, damn, I'm drunk. But I'm by myself.
Exactly.
Guilty
yeah.
of the same thing. I think also in America is good. Like the bar culture in the States is very good if you're a solo traveler because if you've been to America, like you see you got a bar and then you got this long kind of bar and everyone sort of sits at the bar and a lot of people just go on their own and sit there and chat.
And
with
Americans
the
are so friendly
bartender
as well.
And they're so friendly, yeah. I had some amazing times over in the States traveling on my own, just going and sitting at the bar and just meeting people.
I mean, really, all you have to do is order your drink in an Australian accent and all of a sudden it's like, hey, where are you all
make
from?
Make it as thick as possible.
Yeah.
I'll have a beer, thanks, champ.
That's right. Do as Crocodile Dundee as you Flight of Fancy is brought to you by Intrepid Travel. Traveling solo on a small group tour has its perks. The average Intrepid trip has about 10 people on it, people of different ages, backgrounds and nationalities, but all itching to make friends and explore, just like you. In fact, more than half of Intrepid passengers travel solo, so you'll be in good company. Plus, you'll have an expert leader to show you around and introduce you to locals. All you have to do is turn up with a smile and a passport. They'll handle the rest. Go solo, but not alone. That's the Intrepid motto. Head to intrepidtravel.com/solo for details.
But sometimes the not interacting with anyone is the best. Like, you know, this when I was at this bistro in Paris and I was sitting on the street, and because I was just sitting there and people watching, I saw the most amazing things, you know, like this guy in a top hat and a three-piece suit with a huge cigar in his mouth just, like, pedaling down the street and, you know, people with their little dogs in their handbags and the way they were interacting with them. You know, all those kind of things that you think.
So, surely I'm someone with a baguette in the basket of their bike going past.
No. I can't believe it.
But places like France and Germany, they're ideal for going out on your own, aren't they? Because it's totally acceptable to just go out to a restaurant on your own.
It is that kind of culture, and all the tables are right next to each other and people are not like, oh, get out of my space. They're kind of like welcoming you in and everybody's kind of sharing that space. Whereas I think here it's very much like, this is my table, that's yours, get away from me.
Yeah, much more so here. Yeah. I think it also helps having an accent. And if you flash your accent a little bit, someone in the restaurant's going to be like, oh, you're from Australia, and they've got a story to tell, or someone, one of their family members from Australia to start a conversation with as well. So
definitely. But I do think the drinking thing, you have to be maybe a little careful depending on where you are. Like, I've done a lot of solo travel in India, and I probably wouldn't like go out drinking there on my own, just because, you know, walking around in the streets, you've got to really have your wits about you after that. And if you're on your own, I just think it's probably better to just not.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this actually, as a female traveler. Is it, you know, do you have to take extra precautions? Do you have to do things differently, do you feel, than men do?
I think in certain situations, maybe yes. I just think, as much as I'd like to say we're not more vulnerable, I think in certain situations we are. And depending on the culture, you know, certain, especially being an Australian woman, which is something I notice sometimes, we're so open and we're so friendly that can really get taken the wrong way sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, you can get into a situation where I think the guy thinks...
And there is this perception of Western women in general as well, isn't
there? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think sometimes you just have to be really careful of how you interact with, you know, local men or things like that. Like, I know in India, if you're looking a guy right in the eyes, as we're so used to doing here, they're going to take that as a bit of a come on, you know? So you have to be... you have to be aware of that, and you have to kind of keep that in check. And yeah, just things like that. Don't go and get drunk on your own and then wander around the streets of, you know, maybe somewhere like Zambia or anywhere in India .
What about Morocco? Was that difficult on your own?
Morocco, because the men there are quite forward. And once again, I just tried to make smart decisions and listen to my women's intuition, which is a real thing. You get that feeling in your gut when something is wrong. And, you know, I had a situation there where I was in a shop, and then the other people that were in there, you know, left, and then it was just me and the shopkeeper, and then he's suddenly kind of like leaning in and trying to hug me, and it got really weird really quickly. I'm not a rude person usually, but I just had to really suddenly get my kind of shackles up and leave.
Did you buy something
strange.
Really expensive?
I think he's just like, everyone's leaving, I'm just going to go in just, there, you know?
Let's
like,
just do this.
I don't know.
But
I do think it is trying to find your kind of travel persona as well. So you might not be an aggressive person usually, or you might be really friendly normally, but sometimes you do kind of have to alter the way you are a little bit, just to make sure you don't get taken advantage of, you know? Like, sometimes you really do need to be a little more direct with your communication in certain cultures, I think, in order to, stay safe.
Yeah. Tim, do you take any extra precautions when you're traveling solo at all?
Sometimes. I think personally, like, the idea of traveling solo, everyone automatically assumes it's more dangerous, you're more of a target, whatever. I disagree with that. I think that traveling solo, you're more able to travel incognito and blend in with your surroundings a bit more. I don't think there's anything that attracts potential thieves and criminals more than a big group of travellers speaking in a foreign language, drinking beers in a bar. It's like they've got a neon sign above their head saying, come and rip me off.
Yeah.
When you're on your own, you can be a little bit more quiet, blend into your surroundings. I always, whether I'm with people or alone, I always dress down. So I never wear really flashy clothes. I think I would never sort of stand on the street corner speaking on my flashing new iPhone on FaceTime, you know, things like that, to try and sort of blend in. But I mean, I suppose if I'm in quite a dangerous, not dangerous, but if I'm in a more sort of dodgy area and I think I've heard stories of things going wrong, I would make sure that I always avoid walking on my own at night. I would avoid walking down any sort of quiet alleyways or dark streets, day or night. Mm-hmm. Stay away from that. Generally tell someone when I'm leaving, when I'm expected to come back. And then just little things like be wary of pickpockets. You don't have another set of eyes around, so wear your backpack on your front. Don't put anything in your back pockets.
Yeah.
All that kind of jazz.
Do you find you're more of a target for scammers, though, when you're on your own?
I'm always a target regardless.
And this is also one of the things about traveling on your own is that you have no one else to blame for your dumb decisions.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do make dumb decisions. And you do dumb things and there's no one else to say that was your fault. Yeah. I was in India and I took the train from Jaipur all the way across to Mumbai. From Chennai all the way across to Mumbai, which was a really long train ride. And it cost me, I can't remember what it was exactly in rupees, but it was about 300 rupees or so, like really not much money. And then I jumped in a taxi and the taxi driver took me to the hostel and the guy said, okay, that's 400 rupees. And I was like, what? Like, that's more than my train ticket. And
he was like, no, look,
we've got a conversion chart. See that there? That says 2.4 rupees. We've worked that out on the conversion chart. See, that comes to 400. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it does. I've heard about this conversion chart. So I handed over my 400 rupees and I went.
Mate, you got to listen to Nina. Adopt your travel personality.
Coming from Nina, who did exactly the same thing in Rishikesh.
That is my travel personality, by the way. So I've identified it and I've owned it.
But I
told the story slightly wrong. The guy said it says 24 rupees. That equals 400. And I was like, okay, great. And I later found out that there is a decimal point there and it was actually 2.4 rupees that he should have been converting, not 24, and there was no one next to me. I'd say, oh, I can't believe my idiot friend didn't talk me out.
No, but it doesn't help, honestly. I don't think sometimes it doesn't help.
You're listening to Flight of Fancy. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can find stories by our guests and other great writers at traveller.com.au. One thing I was going to say, probably the only thing that really bugs me on a day-to-day basis traveling solo is not having anyone to look after your bags when you need to go to the toilet.
Number one. That is the worst.
That is the thing that happens on every single trip that I do by myself.
Maybe you're looking
at me weirdly. Like, does this not happen
to
you? How do you, like, when you've got a big backpack or a big case and you take it
into the toilet? I take it in.
Yeah, it's like you're playing Tetris in this tiny little cubicle. Like, pulling this weird, awkward yoga pose while not letting anything touch the urine-covered floor.
Yeah, if you're worried about that, that's how you lose your backpack.
I had to do this with a 2-meter-long snowboard bag the other day as well, like wedging it into a toilet cubicle.
It's just ridiculous.
It's a thing you have to do.
But on the bright side, like, there are things that you can do as a solo traveler that you can't do when you're traveling with somebody else. And I find it's just, even if it's just the style of the holiday that you take, like.
Yeah.
If I'm traveling by myself, my girlfriend is amazing to travel with, but she's also kind of a warrior and doesn't like doing any dangerous things. So
that is a dangerous thing.
When I travel by myself, I get to, you know, go skydiving or ride in a really small plane or, you know, make decisions that maybe aren't the greatest because, you know, I got that freedom to do it. Do you guys have the same thing?
I'm totally with you. My husband is a kind of lay on the beach, have a beer, maybe do something in the afternoon, and I am a, like, get up and do stuff right from the start of the day. So I just had an amazing trek to the Rainbow Mountains in Peru, which I did by myself. I was with a tour group, but there were about five of us. The others were couples and then me. And that was an amazing experience in terms of, I mean, because it was a really intense trek, we didn't talk a lot and there was a lot of time just for reflection and really taking the destination in. But I think, yeah, more than that, it was really kind of proving to myself that I could do this hard thing.
Right.
And that it was all about kind of my personal growth, which was, which I think is a really important part of solo travel.
Do you learn things about yourself when you travel solo?
It's really, really empowering. And I think it also helps you sort out what you like and what you don't like. It sounds really simple, but, you know, when you're with someone else, so often you are just going with like, okay, what do you want to do? Okay, now what do I want to do? But when it's all your decision, you really kind of hone what your travel style is and what you really like to do, which is also a pretty cool thing to figure out.
I think it also gives you a lot of time for self-reflection as well.
Yeah.
I did part of the Camino de Santiago last year. Mm-hmm. Did it on my own.
This is the big long pilgrimage path in
from
Spain.
France into Spain.
Yeah.
And I did most of it on my own. Obviously, you meet people and you walk with people for certain parts, but I actually chose every morning to get up really early, so before the sun came up,
right,
and leave and hit the path, mainly because I was filming along the way and I'd always be the
take
last
forever
minute anyway.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that because I spent most of the time walking on my own and spending, you know, sort of 5-6 hours a day walking on your own through this beautiful environment with so much time for self-reflection. You come back feeling like Buddha, like you really had so much time to think about yourself, almost overanalyze everything.
I was
going to
say, is there almost too much time for self-reflection?
No, but it's really,
what am I doing with my life?
Because I find like in like, you know, modern way of life, we have got so little time to actually self-reflect and look at ourselves from the outside and sort of think about our current positions and really sort of think about ourselves.
And
solo travel gives you time for self-reflection.
Now, guys, what about good destinations for solo travelers? Obviously, there's some that work out best. We're talking about the US, and obviously...
US for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What is it about the US? Just friendly people?
Friendly people. They just love to chat. And, I mean, you walk down the street in the States, and if you stand on a street corner and you look a little bit lost, someone will come up and have a chat to you. They just love to talk to strangers. And I think the bar culture and the restaurant culture as well is really accommodating for solo travelers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying before, the culture is to go and sit at the bar and speak to the bartenders, and people will come and sit next to you and they'll just spark up a conversation for no other reason than they just want to chat. So I think that's a great destination.
Yeah. I think in a similar way, Ireland and Scotland are both amazing for that.
Yeah.
UK as well, England as well, to a slightly lesser extent. But I just find, you know, pubs in Ireland and Scotland, people are there for a chat. They're there for a laugh. And if you're there by yourself, it feels like a cliche to say, oh, you just make friends and people just come and talk to you. But they actually do.
Yeah.
That happens. And as a solo traveler, you know, that's gold. That's exactly what you want. I went for a night out in Derry in Northern Ireland by myself one night. And I thought, oh, I'll just have a pint, maybe 2 pints, and then I'll go home. And it was such a cliche, but I got home at about 5 a.m. with, you know, 20 new friends on Facebook. And it was just, people would just come up to me and start talking and say, hey, come on, join our group. Yeah, it was incredible.
I had a birthday of mine in Los Angeles, actually. I was on my way to Burning Man Festival, and I just timed in that my birthday was there, and I didn't know anyone in LA, and I was like, oh, okay, so I'm going to be here on my own for my birthday. That kind of sucks,
right,
but whatever. I was like, and I was sitting in my hotel, and I was like, oh, I've got to go out and just have one drink. So I went to the bar, sat at the bar, had a drink. I got home at 10 o'clock the next morning. I ended up going to this amazing party, and we partied all night until the next day and stumbled in at 10 o'clock the next morning. It's still to this day, it's one of the best birthdays I've ever had.
Right.
And I never met one of those people before that night.
Yeah, right.
But that's the culture there.
Yeah,
people accept you. And as soon as they find out your birthday, they're like, oh, let's party. Let's make this happen.
Everyone's just so enthusiastic about
everything.
I
love it. Yeah.
Yeah, genuinely.
Nina,
where would you go?
Well, I think places like Indonesia, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Bali, there's a lot of places in Bali that are very welcoming and easy to get around in. But also, you know, Lombok and Flores and all these fantastic places that don't get talked about as much. But, you know, it's, I think you feel relatively safe there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
are you meeting locals or other travellers there, or
a bit of both? I really like to go to places like that have quite a strong spirituality to them when I'm alone, because it is a lot about that for me, kind of delving deep and discovering new things about yourself. And I think that's a destination where you can do that but also feel quite safe. And, I mean, I would also actually say India, because I've done so much of it on my own, and I know a lot of people are scared to do it. But I think as long as you know where you're going and you have quite a good plan, I wouldn't say just rock up and figure it out, even though it's good to leave room for that. But if you have a good focus and you have your wits about you, it's a really incredible place to travel
and it,
to.
And it is a friendly place. Like you will get approached by a million people, but the vast majority of them will be friendly and just want to get to know you and make sure you're having a good time.
Exactly. And and now actually there are a lot of kind of hostels and things that you can stay in there. Mm-hmm. And like I was talking about the ashrams. I mean, they're actually great places to meet other travelers as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're talking about, you know, overland travel, it's so much fun there. It's just completely nuts.
Trains are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would be a little cautious with the kind of overnight journeys because, I've done it before and been fine, but perhaps for, you know, first timers, you might want to stay away from that.
For me, the only frustration of traveling by myself in India was not having someone else there to take over the haggling for a while.
Yeah.
because it's just push a mate forward.
Exactly.
For a
it's like, you do the rickshaw this time. I did the last couple.
I cannot face it.
Someone else's turn. So now, guys, just to wrap up quickly, what do you think is going to be your next solo destination?
In 2 weeks, South Africa.
Right. So what are you going to do there?
I'm filming again. Yeah. And then to Croatia after that on another one. So it's all solo these days.
Excellent. How about you, Nina?
Well, my husband and I are planning a trip to Israel in a month or a couple of months. And we both really enjoy traveling solo, so much so that we are planning on doing a few days at the beginning of the trip, a few days, maybe a week, where we go off and do our own thing and then reunite and have the rest of the time together, just so that we can, you know, come back and share our experiences about how we interacted with the culture solo and then enjoy the rest of the time together.
Sounds like he's going to be interacting with a cocktail most of the time.
Yeah, glasses of wine, I think. So that's how we roll.
Yeah, great. Mm. And then the next one for me, I'm traveling solo around Sri Lanka in a couple of weeks' time, which I think is going to be an amazing place to be on my own and, you know, just meeting people and getting out there and enjoying it.
Yes.
So, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming along today and joining me. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having us.
If you would like to see more of Tim's work, you can find him on Facebook under Rome Travel, and you can read more of Nina's work at travelswithnina.com. If you'd like to read stories from me or any of the team on Flight of Fancy, you can check them out at traveller.com.au. And if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us in iTunes or on your favourite podcasting app. We'll see you next time.